Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show and Steelers.com. Super Bowl Sunday, right around the corner, and I'm going to give you the most important statistic that relates to this game, and I find it on weather.gov.
Wind speed or temperature?
Sunday's forecast, Sunday. With a high near 45, Sunday night partly cloudy with a low around 27. No precipitation, and the winds are calm, according to this forecast. So, I don't know. They used to have those gates in the those doors in the Meadowlands that they could manipulate to create some wind, maybe when there wasn't any in East Rutherford, New Jersey. But what it looks like for Super Bowl Sunday at MetLife Stadium is the kind of weather conditions that are not going to inhibit a passing attack, which I think now gives the edge to the Denver Broncos.
I think that's a help to the Denver Broncos. I'm not sure if that gives the Broncos the edge or not. And when I say I'm not sure, it doesn't mean I'm doubting you. It means right. I don't know. I've gone over this game so many times, and I'm waffling. But there's something in my head, some gene deep in my body, something in my DNA that wants to gravitate to the better defense in this instance.
And I certainly can give you what I think are several realistic scenarios in which that better defense will have the confetti raining down on them as they're walking around carrying the Lombardi Trophy after the game. The only thing about this game to me is that it seems that the Super Bowl, maybe more than any other game, is a quarterback's game. And it's not so much that the quarterback always wins it, but I think the quarterback can lose it. And Russell Wilson, to me, it looked like it was too big for him last game in the championship round. It looked like it was too big for him.
Really?
He played in the championship game like Ben played in his first Super Bowl. Yeah. Both second-year players.
Both those guys won that game, too.
I understand that. I just don't – Ben was tremendous in Denver. Maybe the best of the playoff games that he played in terms of his accuracy and, third-down conversions. I mean, making all the plays at the proper time. Russell Wilson, to me, I don't know, he seemed a little shaky. So, I mean, that's what I got right now. I could say I was wrong,
Yeah. Or we could do another one a half an hour from now and I might come up with something different too. Yeah. It's been that kind of week. I kind of like it, and this is, it doesn't make a lot of sense to assess advantages or disadvantages on perceived intangibles, because who really knows?
Yeah.
But I think that Seattle team's got something going on. They are not easily deterred, and I think that means a lot in this game. Plus 20 turnover differential, number one in the league. That's supposed to mean a lot. I know the great Peyton Manning is the great Peyton Manning, but I went down this road with him one time before, and I thought he'd be the difference, and he was. And the difference ran into the New Orleans end zone.
Tracy Porter.
With a pick. So,
yeah.
Stay tuned. I'm leaning Seattle still right now.
Well, and I'll tell you what. I think that if Seattle wins, Percy Harvin will have had something to do with it. And maybe as a kick returner. Percy Harvin, a cheap – if one of the teams gets a cheap touchdown, and by that I mean a kick return for a score, some sort of takeaway that ends up on the scoreboard, I think that team is going to end up winning. If the game is played honestly, so to speak, where only offenses score points, I like Denver. But as you mentioned, with Seattle with their plus 20 turnover ratio, they are obviously a takeaway kind of team. And Percy Harvin, I've seen him. I run kicks back for touchdowns in the NFL. So.
Yeah, the other kid didn't do bad in the 49er game
either.
What was
that, Baldwin?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we'll see what happens. But I'm looking forward to the game. I think it's going to be
me too. Really compelling matchup. You know, beyond personalities, and you know, is Peyton the greatest of all time and all this stuff. I like the number one offense versus the number two defense. That's pretty, or number one defense. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, I think and in the week leading up to the game, I think each team is staying pretty much in character, which I think is important. You know, Denver is buttoned down. Peyton says nothing, and everybody takes their lead from him. You have a couple of guys. Pot Roast is trying to make a little name for himself, which, hey, put more power to him. I mean, you know, you and I have covered a bunch of these, and just imagine, God help us all, if there were no people like Pot Roast or Richard Sherman or anything. I mean, you know, you need somebody to say something just to break up the week. And I think Seattle has been kind of true to its character. They're not muzzling people. They're not making Marshawn Lynch be really what he's not.
Richard Sherman, communicative.
You know, I mean, I'll tell you what, if you make an investment on those Seattle Seahawks, I think you're going to be more interested in whether Marshawn hits it up in there on Sunday afternoon than you are whether he dazzles him on Tuesday and Wednesday behind a microphone.
I'll just say this. From what I've heard throughout this week from him, he was fined $50,000 by the NFL for not speaking all year.
Yeah.
I think we, the media, should pay him next year not to speak.
Right.
Just do what you do.
Why would you – and that's the – why would you even care to go up to him? I mean, he has nothing to say and wants to say nothing. I mean, I don't – that's okay.
You know, speaking of being true to character, I don't know if you're reading the daily practice reports, but Peter King is the pool reporter for the Seahawks, and he mentioned that at Wednesday's practice – they blared music, which is their habit, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And he even mentioned that it was a lot of James Brown and Notorious B.I.G. So that I think that shoved me a little further into the Seattle camp, because, you know, they're letting their hair down. They're just
Right, exactly.
They're not afraid of it. Although, the taste factor now, that's a whole other story entirely. But, you know, to each his own.
Exactly. Well, we'll see what happens, and then we'll come back and...
We're going to make predictions or just waffle around?
Oh, I like the waffling around. I'll stand by what I said. I mean, it's if this weather holds, and I'm assuming it will...
The weathermen are never wrong.
Never. that's what truly why I'm waffling, because I should... Anyone who deals with weather forecasters in the northeast part of the country, or really anywhere, except maybe Phoenix or Las Vegas, where it's the same all the time.
Or Los Angeles. What was that movie with Steve Martin, L.A. LA story?
Yeah.
Where he was a weatherman. Sun.
I just don't. I have serious questions about whether Seattle can muster enough offense to, you know, beat the Broncos. I don't think the Broncos are going to run it up. The Broncos could win 19-6. And it would be a virtual butt-kicking in terms of
possession and territorial advantage and all that stuff.
But, you know, 19 points, I mean, or 17-6 even.
Well, just to make this interesting, I'll go to the other side. Deck the Broncos, they're just Yonkos. Seattle... 24, Denver 20.
Peyton throws a pick six at the end.
Richard Sherman. No, not a pick six. They just don't. You know what? I'll make it 24-23. They get a bunch of those field goals, which they seem really happy to kick in the postseason.
Yes, they do.
Russell Wilson finds a way.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of Talk of Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you next week. Tell you who was right and who was wrong.